my dears, tonight, because, you know, it's pretty much the end of 2021. Can you realize? Wow. It was like today, one night like today, when we said, wow, we are in the beginning of year 2021, 2021. And now it's coming another one, 20. And guess what? Which one? 2-2. Wow. The time is running. The time is running. And you know it is one of my enemy. And I was thinking, what shall I preach tonight? Maybe I'm not preaching. Maybe I'm just talking. Maybe I'm just chatting with you. Interacting with you. But while I was thinking about the preaching, God put in my heart to continue to read from that gospel I preached last time. Do you remember? It was in Philippians chapter 3. And I told Adrian, Adrian, maybe, because it was so much, it is so much in that chapter. We cannot even cover tonight. No, it takes us ages to cover that chapter. Only chapter 3 from Philippians. But we'll look from another perspective. And looking in that chapter, again and again, it was a big challenge for me, even though I don't like too much challenge. I like to say it was a motivation. Because challenge, translated my mother tongue, it is like, it's not so nice word. Well, it is challenge, but it is like much more as a provocation, you know. And I don't like to provoke anyone, but I would like to challenge you to look in Philippians chapter 3 and to read again and again and again. And I wrote here on my phone, because 100% I might forget some of the question. I found seven wonderful, great questions. And I will read first the question which I put here. The first question which I found, why I am living? Reading this chapter, it rose in my mind, why I am living? Paul shows me in this chapter why he was living. A reason. Well, I don't need to start to preach. I just need to start to read the question first of all. Yes? The second question, it is quite quickly. Yeah? Am I ready to die? Am I ready to die? You might think, wow, look how young I am. I'm not going to die so young. Many people, many children die. Death doesn't ask you the age. The third question, it is, who are you? Who are you? The fourth question, it is, where are you heading to? Or where are you heading off, yeah? Is that correct? Where are you heading? Where do you go in this world? The fifth question, it is, what does motivate you? You see, I didn't put challenge you. What does it motivate you to live for today, for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for next, well, year? Because it will come 20 and 22, we said, yes? The second one, what does it give you power to live and to be motivated? Because if you don't have power, if you don't have fuel, you can't move the car. You need the power to move on. Because you have a motivation, you have a reason. You see? But you need to have a power. And the seventh one, it is, what it will give you peace when you are going to die. These are the seven questions, which I was thinking to go maybe briefly, because, you know, time, it is kind of against me. It is one of my enemies. Those who were here enough early, like a few years ago, I might say, they know that I have three big enemies, yes? The first enemy is myself. And Paul said, I fight with myself. I'm fighting with myself to keep on the track, on the way. The second enemy is the devil, because he wanted to use my body, my intention, my desire, my eyes, my nose, my ears, my hands, my feet. Yeah? He wants to use me. And the third one, it is the time. I excuse before before those who hear this again and again. But I have these three big enemies. And let's start with the first question. Why I'm leaving? Maybe you are quite young. I found a leaflet here Adrian has in this hallway. Your life. I am too young. I am too busy. I am too old. And then it is too late. Why are you leaving? You might say, I am too young to ask myself so. I have so long life before me, so I can't burden asking myself why I'm leaving for. Many people are leaving, they have a reason. And as a parent, we try to implement a reason in our children. Learn, go further, go harder, and go deeper, just to achieve some achievement in the school. Because if you have a good grade, then you have a good, yes, isn't it? Yeah? Some children agree with me. Because I know my parents, they did with me like so. Daniel, if you learn well, that would be brilliant. You'll have a good, you'll have a good education, and that good education will open many doors for you. And that's true. I don't want to say that your parents will lie to you. No, that's one of the truth. But is that the only reason that I'm living here on this earth? Just to get a good achievement, a good grades, a good education? Oh no, Daniel. I want to have a nice house. I want to have a big car. Maybe nice big car. Some people like small cars. So it might be not match the idea of someone. A nice posh one, you know. When I'm driving around and leave the window down, people can see who is driving the car. So I can brag a bit. Not too much, but to see that I'm the driver. That's one of the reasons. And people invest in that. And they are working hard. Some people, they want to have a nice, wonderful family. And good for them, because they want that, because we want that. Everyone to have a nice, wonderful family. And we want to pray for those who want to have a nice family. And Lord Jesus Christ, and God created a family. That's this cell of the society. It is God's creation. And God wants you to have a nice family. But is that only the thing that you are motivated to live for? What is your reason to leave? Paul, you might be surprised. You know what Paul said? For me to leave is Christ. Wow. It looks like he changed the gear. For me to leave is Christ. And to die is gain. I want you to put on your list tonight, for me to live, it's Christ. If you didn't put that as a primary reason or motivation, put that one first and put the others after. Everything what comes should come after Lord Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. Another reason, well, it says here, I think it's another reason, Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, you can find this on the page 1420. It says, to know him. You know, I preached last time a little bit, I touched a little bit of this. But one of Paul's reasons, he says, to know him and the power of resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul wanted to know him more. Is your desire to know Lord Jesus Christ more? If it is so, you are doing something towards that. And you know what to do, yes? First of all, to know someone much more and more and more, you need to spend time with that person. If you don't spend time with Lord Jesus Christ, you are not going to know him that well. If you want to know Lord Jesus Christ, speak with him every morning. Speak with him as you walk to your school or to your job. I like to, now because I moved in London, I don't use my car so much. I'm going by public transport. But sometimes I like to get off from the bus or from the underground with one station or a few bus stops before, and just to walk towards house. And sometimes I'm looking on my phone to see how many steps I've done. And I brag that before my wife, look how many steps I've done. But you know what I'm doing when I'm doing steps? I don't want to say every step it's a prayer, but I'm praying as I'm stepping on. I'm speaking with Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know him, and I can tell you something, it might be personal. When I walk and I speak with him, sometimes tears come in my eyes. I feel him so close. And I hear his voice. It's not a voice that like a human voice, you know. Somebody told me, Daniel, how do you hear? Because I never heard Jesus speaking in my ears. I said, well, it is not the voice like you are speaking to me. It is in your heart. It is in your soul. He is guiding you. He's speaking nice and gentle voice, that Holy Spirit who comes to you. As once he spoke to Elijah, a gentle voice came to Elijah. Do you hear his voice? Are you spending that time with Lord Jesus Christ? I dare you. Next year, spend more time with Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk on the, you know, I know you know this. So many people are walking on the street and looking on their phone. It is not surprisingly, but it's not so nice. Mothers in a town forgetting about their children. Sometimes cars nearly crash, or maybe many times crash people because they were too busy on the gadgets. Are you the same? You know what Lord Jesus Christ said? When you see those things happen in the world, you know what he said? Put your nose in the phone. Scroll down and see what's going on. Look in the news. Did he say so? No, I don't remember so. You know what he said? Raise your eyes up. Because your salvation are coming from there. It's coming from there. Your salvation is coming from up, my dear friend. It's not from you. Whatever you are looking to. Look up. And see that he is coming. Many things in this world, this time, telling us so loud that he is near. Much nearer than yesterday. Much nearer than the day when you believed on Lord Jesus Christ. Am I ready to meet him? I think I told you last time. Maybe one of my surprises and one of my sorrow in heaven is to be that I didn't spend enough time here with him. When I will see him, John the Evangelist, just remember, in that night when they had the supper, Lord's Supper as we call, where he put his head? On the chest of Lord Jesus Christ. Where he put his head when he was in that revelation? To his feet. Why? It's not so, my dear friend. When we will see him in that glory, when we will see him in that glory, we will be surprised. Wow! This is all about, you was talking about all this time. I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. So many sorry over there. So many people will apologize before Lord Jesus Christ because they spend too less time. Well, I just spoke about the first question. Maybe I need to go to the second one. It's just the first. Look at that time. My time. You know? The second one, it was, what did I say? Are you ready to die? Maybe I should put this previous last, yeah? Well, are you ready to die? You know, we heard so many people dying these days because of many causes, many things. Am I ready to die? Lord Jesus Christ said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. If you are ready to go to meet Lord Jesus Christ, I will go quickly over this question, because I don't want to burden you too much. But I want to warn you. I want to raise awareness in your heart. One day you are going to see Lord Jesus Christ. One day you are going to meet Him. And you know, in my Bible it says that every knee will bow before Him. Every knee will bow before Him and confess that He is God. Are you ready to meet Him? The other one, it is... Let me read another scripture here. It is in Galatians. I think it is in Galatians chapter 4. It is in Galatians chapter 4. No, sorry. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know very well this scripture. I am crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Yeah? I am crucified with Christ and not longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I know life in flesh, I live by faith. The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and given Himself for me. I live. I'm crucified to Lord Jesus Christ. This means I died for myself. In Ephesians, let's go back in Ephesians chapter 3. And let's go to, who are you? That's a great question. You know, we have Instagram, we have Facebook. Many people don't use Facebook that much. I'm quite using. And they post their different pictures. But before they put a picture on this media, they try to change a little bit the look, you know. You have so many apps that can make you younger, can make you beautier, can make you whatever you wish. Are you the one that you put in that media, or are you somebody else behind all these pictures? Are you the one that when you meet me, I'm asking you, how are you? I'm okay. And you know, I used to ask people, how are you? And they said, oh, I am okay, Daniel. And then I took a pause. And I said, how are you really? And they look at me, wow, actually know something about me. Well, you know, how are you indeed? Because we try to hide our identity. We try to hide our identity. When we had a border between us and Hungarian people, when I tried to come in European country, the first thing that they asked me, they said, okay, I see that you are a person. Give me your ID. Your ID will define who you are. What is your ID? Yeah? And Paul says here that in Philippians 3, verse 20, for our commonwealth has it is existing in the heavens, from which also we await the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. It is your ID, identity with commonwealth over there in heaven. Are you one with Lord Jesus Christ? Who you are? You know, let me read in Jeremiah, if you want to open with me, I think I'll find this quickly because I put a sign here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, God tells to Jeremiah, it is on the page 907, if you want to open. You don't need to, but it is good if you want to open. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee, before you being formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. So you can't hide from God. And if you go also, I think it is in Psalm 130, it is Psalm 139, quickly, because the time it is running against me. My bones, Psalm 139, page 782, verse 50. My bones were not hidden from thee when I was made in the secret, curious, in the lower part of the earth. Thine eyes did see me, my unformed substance, and in thy book all my members were written. God knows you. God knew you before you been born. God knew you before your mother went to the sound scan to see if you are a girl or boy. God knew if you are a boy or girl. You can't hide from God. Don't try to hide from God. Never try to hide from God. Go and tell Him, God, I am that you say I am. I am a sinner. I need the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died for me. I need your grace and mercy. Are you hiding? When you are sinning, when you are doing something wrong and your conscience is telling you you've done something wrong, go and pray. Maybe nobody saw me. Year 2021. The end of year. How many times did you hide or try to hide? Because you couldn't hide. Really hide. Yeah? How many times did you try to hide from God this year? Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to come to Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, it was written down there, but I forgot that you know me before, you knew me before my mother gave me birth. Please help me to don't hide anymore, to don't have double identity. It was a wife of a queen in Israel, and that king was doing something wrong, and their child got sick, and the king told to his wife, go to the prophet of God, the man of God, and ask him about the child. And she dressed like a normal woman, not like a queen. And God told to the prophet, such a person will come to your door. And the prophet said, come, the wife of this king. Why do you try to hide? And she was discovered. Why do you try to be someone else? Many people, they want to be someone else. Many people, they want to be, I don't know, maybe Michael Jackson. Maybe someone else. I don't have too many names in my mind. Sorry, because I didn't try to be someone else. Maybe you want. I know some people, they had, Hollywood stars on their wall or on the furniture, and they tried to behave or speak or even change their look like. Try to be like Lord Jesus Christ. Try to be like Him. Lord, Paul said that, yes? Where are you heading off? Where are you going? Are you going towards your living style, your lifestyle? Does it show that are you going to heaven or hell? Because my dear friend, I want to be honest with you. I can't be nice and smooth here. I can't be soft and, maybe one day. No. That's blah, blah, blah. That's nothing. There are only two ways, two places in heaven, in afterlife. Heaven or hell? Where are you going? Towards which place are you going to go? If God come tonight, are you going to be with him? It's not that you are going to die. But you know, the rapture can come. People doesn't believe that much in the rapture. And people ask you and ask us, show me, prove me. And I give them so many proofs. God can come tonight. Are you ready to meet him? What are you still things to solve it, to fix it? God, don't come tonight. Maybe not problems. I heard the preacher telling about one of his friends. He went to visit a country from United States in another place. I don't want to say the country. But when he went there, his friend from that country was waiting for him with a nice Porsche big car at the airport. And when he jumped in, it was wow. And the driver, who was a Christian, said, you know, God blessed me so much. He gave me so much. He tried to emphasize how wealth and good, job God gave him and position. And I have a big house. You know, he said, I don't mind if Lord Jesus Christ will postpone his rapture. How is that? How is that? Comparing this world with that world. Comparing this gold that it perish with that gold in heaven that doesn't perish? My dear friend, the things that our eyes didn't see, to our brain didn't come, and the tongue cannot express, even in English. So things God prepared for us. Don't forget that Lord Jesus Christ said, in Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a house for a mansion. In another translation, he says, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. What are you doing with your two bedroom flats or four or five bedroom flat house? That's a mansion. Aren't you eager to get there? I want to leave everything here. I don't need even my coat. No, take it all. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You know, Billy Graham's wife, she sang on his funeral, give me Jesus. Take it everything, but give me Jesus. I want him. Do you want to have Lord Jesus Christ? Come tonight to him. He died for you. He died for you. Oh, there are so many things, yes. What does he motivate you? One of the motivation I found here, it is in Philippians. I'll try to go much quicker. I can't stop, you know. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It is just next page, 1, 4, 2, 1. It says here, for the rest, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are amiable, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if any praise, think on these things. That was Paul's motivation. That was the power that gave him. Whatever, my dear friend, he says, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. How did I ask you, Eunice, the sieve was? Sieve, yeah? I learned a word today. Sieve, you know sieve. Ladies use that very much. These are several sieves that you can put the things that you are doing through. That if it doesn't go through, throw it away. That's garbage. That's rubbish. You heard last time when I preached, yeah? Paul considered everything that he achieved as a garbage or rubbish. As you say in England. If he doesn't go through that sieve, all these, chapter 8, it is, there. I don't know, I think there are 8 sieves. Sieves, yeah? Thank you. Whatever you are doing, try to see, is that pure? Is that just? Is that noble? Is that amiable? Is that of good report? If it is nothing of these, Get rid as soon as possible. Don't even think of it. Don't look at that. You know, what was the name of that woman who became a stone of a pillar of souls? Lot's wife. Thank you. I forgot that. She just looked behind, and suddenly, souls. Do you know that that pillar of souls is still there? It's still there. Do you want to become like that? Don't look behind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No, I'm not even looking back. Don't look back. I dare you. So there are many, many, many things. Lord Jesus Christ, His motivation. Why are you living? His motivation. I think I put a sign here to find much quickly. I don't know how much time. Lord Jesus Christ said in one of, I think I lost, in John, He said, I came to save. Father, well, I found one. Father, I desire that where I am, they also might be with me. But Lord Jesus Christ said, I came in this world to save everyone. He had a desire. His desire was to submit to God's will. Do you have the same desire to submit to the Father's will? To Lord Jesus Christ's will? You know, I think the last one, it might be, let me see if I wrote here. What does He give you the power? In my life, when are you going to die? What does He give you peace? That's the last question. When are you going to die? What does He give you peace? When you are on the deathbed and you look back, are you still worried? I should do this in another way. I should change that one. Just think a little bit in the front. I'm going to say that in my life, I had the opportunity to go to many people who were dying. And I hold their hands many times. And many times I pray them. And I saw Christian dying with joy and smile on face. And I saw unbelievers were struggling, twisting their face. What does He give you peace? In Ephesians, I think in Ephesians chapter 2, He says that verse 14, for He is our peace who hath made one. For He is speaking about Lord Jesus Christ. Is Lord Jesus Christ your peace? Is Lord Jesus Christ your peace? I remember, and I'm going to tell you this, and then I like to close. One day, I think I was about 20, 21 years old. One of our brother from our church, he was old enough to go from this world, and he was on his deathbed, you say, yes? Thank you. And we were there to try to pray for him. He was in coma. Sometimes he went in coma, sometimes he came back. And one day he said, is today Wednesday? And we said, no, today it is Friday. And then after a few hours, we chat, we sang a hymn, and then we had some prayers. And then he woke up again, and he was laying on bed, and he said, is today Wednesday? And we were wondering, after a few times asking the same question, brother, what do you want to say about Wednesday? It is Friday. Well, he promised me he will come Wednesday, 6 p.m. And then back he went in a coma. Everyone was surprised. Normally in the Lord's day, the preacher spoke about this. And all the congregation knew that our brother is on deathbed. And he said that he's coming on Wednesday, 6 p.m. And rose the curiosity for many people. And we went there Wednesday. It was 4 p.m. And he came back and he said, "It's the day Wednesday." And one brother said, "It is Wednesday, brother. But it is 4 o'clock. Ah, he promised me he will come 6 p.m. You know? At 6 p.m., everyone was curious. Everyone was looking at him. He opened his eyes and he said, "It's the day Wednesday." "Yes, it is Wednesday." "It's 6 o'clock. "Yes, it's 6 o'clock. He looked at everyone, and then he closed his eyes. And he, how do you say?
Exhaled
three times. And then off he went with a big smile on the face. Mm-hmm. 6 p.m. He promised me he will come at 6 p.m. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Do you have that insurance in your life? Do you have that peace? He promised me 6 p.m. Wednesday. And I was there. I'm one of the witnesses. And I'm glad because I was there. Even though I was quite young, 20 or 21, I don't remember the age. But I lived that. And I said, that point, I said, I want to go to many, many people who are on deathbed. Because I want to see how they are dying. And in one of the towns, I had the opportunity. The doctors let me to go in. And I spoke with many people. I can tell you, the one who truly believed on Lord Jesus Christ, they had so much peace. They didn't hold my hand. They just, you know, they didn't hold so hard. They just said, "God bless you, brother. Thank you because you've been with me. Thank you for prayer." And off he went. But the others nearly broke my fingers. Do you have that peace in your heart? "Peace I give to you." It is somebody who said, "Peace I give to you." Not like the world is giving to you. Did you receive that peace from the Lord Jesus Christ? He died on that Calvary cross just to give you peace. To don't be afraid when the death will come. To don't struggle. And to look to that door open with the big, wonderful eyes. And to say, "Oh, thank you. And Lord Jesus Christ will welcome you. Come, my faithful servant." Sorry I kept you so long. But I didn't want to go so quickly through this question. Do you have peace with Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, come to Lord Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow. Come now. We never know. May God bless you. Amen.
Amen.